हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So Paramatma Sajarva and Jayana 2 Adhikarna 7, the jiva is always dependent on the Paramatma. Page 112. Why is there differentiation between what is to be explained and the most excellent entity, Tat, in Tattvamasi? Nothing need be explained. For the answer is in Aitadatmyam Idam Sarvam. The Lord is the Atma of all this. Chandogya Upanishad 6.8.7. Right, so what's the difference? Is that it, the only thing that needs to be explained is he is the Atma of it all. Whatever there is, whatever is important, Krishna is the Atma of that. Right? Because that means anything we're perceiving, anything of value to us ourselves, is all coming from Krishna. He's the Lord of that. He's the Atma of that. He's the soul of that. He's what makes it all work. So that's all that needs to be explained. Right? All the fine detail, all the speculation, that does not what has to be explained. You can get into all that, but it's that simple. See, that's the thing is, we're used to a simple answer is not a complete answer. It's a general answer that kind of works for the layman. Then you have a technical answer. And that technical answer, now that's for someone who's educated and more advanced and more developed. But in the Vedic, the simple answer is what's for the most advanced. Because you're dealing with the absolute truth. And the other is that it's all relative. Mm-hmm. While this is no, it means it's all in relationship to the Lord. Here it's relative to each other, and so therefore, because each thing's different, the situations change. But if you're talking about relativity, meaning in relation to the Lord, as actual sambandhagyan, right? Then that relativity is absolute. Yes. Right? Because that's the whole point of the other. Relativity is this, well, it's a connection of this, and you say this, I say that, and he says another thing. And then in this situation it changes and all that. But everything is adjusting and changing according to its relation with the absolute truth. Mm-hmm. That's the constant. So therefore, it's very straightforward, simple points. Then, you can since the Lord's unlimited, you can give an unlimited explanation. But those with devotion are satisfied with a simple answer. Because it's about the person. How technically he takes care of everything, that's a fine. Like for the kids, their father does this job, that's fine. They don't need to know all the technical things on how, you know, how many the things on the chair he did, you know, he sits, and this one, how far forward or backwards, and that. But the secretary has to know that. Or the people who clean, and they have to know that. But for the son, it doesn't, because it's about the person. While the others, it's about the situation, manipulating the situation, getting profit out of that, and getting paid. So very different. So therefore, I want more, I have to technically know more. But in the Vedic, the more is what's closer to Krishna, and the technical is what gets farther and farther away. Though, I mean, there's no distance, but I'm just saying more away from the personal aspect. Goes into Paramatma, goes into Brahman. So that's where all the technical stuff is. Like here, the most technical discussions on one level, you know, are in the Paramatma Sandarbha, because you're dealing there. You know? Like that. But when we get into Krishna and all that, that'll be more familiar. That technicality, That's going to be just very, you know, nice aspects of Krishna. So, yeah. Aprapte hi shastram artavat. Scriptures become meaningful when it concerns matters not perceived by the senses and mind. Purvi Mimamsa 6:2-18. Right. So the scripture has meaning because it's explaining what you can't understand with the senses and mind. So this demand that no, it has to be explained for my senses and mind, that's the point. Scripture explains what's beyond what you can understand with that. Right? That's the whole thing, is that Shastra deals with those things that you cannot perceive with your senses and mind. Once you've heard from Shastra, now by analyzation, now you can start to see how it's there. But before that, you'll never see it. So unless you accept that descending aspect, you can't see it with your senses. Your anuman will not get you the results. Right? Your speculation won't get you the results. The words idam sarvam refer to the jiva and the universe. I tadatmyam means that the Lord is the Atma of the universe and the jiva. Right? So idam sarvam is the jiva and the universe, right? And I tadyatmyam means the Lord who is the Atma of that universe, right? From the Chandogya Upanishad. So that's the thing, is he is the Atma, so therefore we're dependent upon him. San mula saum ye ma sarva parja sada yatana sat pratishta. All these beings are based on sat. Sat is their support and receptacle. Chandogya Upanishad 6:8-6. Sarvam kalvidam brahma tajjalan iti shanta upasita. Everything is Brahman. The peaceful person should worship Brahman as the creator and destroyer. Notice they don't take the other part of the... That's all one verse. That's Chandogya Upanishad 3:14:1. They only took Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Yes. They left off the Taj Jalan Iti Shanta Upasita. The peaceful person, means the one without desire, should worship Brahman as the creator and destroyer. So that means he's doing things. So how does he do that? Since he is unchangeable, has to be through his energies. And so, therefore, this peaceful person does that. It means no material desire. So since they're not accepting that and they're not worshiping, means they're not peaceful. Why not? Because they have material desire. What is that? They want liberation. Interesting. You know, it's like the Hindus that you know, karma yevadikaraste, you have a right to do your duty, but they'll never quote any more than that of the verse. You know, because mafalechu kadachana, the result you can't claim is yours. They never quote that part. So, same way. Sorry, you were...
Yeah, I was thinking, if Upanishad says that we should worship Brahman, means there's an object, there's a subject, and
yes,
there's a process of worship.
Yes, yes.
So, it can be one. I mean, it's obvious from the Shruti.
Yes, yes.
And if they base everything on Shruti, then
yes,
they should accept that part.
Yes, very good, very good. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yes. So that's also the point that why they have to do so much juggling, is because the endings, you know, the case endings that we were discussing yesterday, then the case endings show one thing, you know, that what's the subject, what's the object, what's all that, but they avoid that. So that's an interesting thing. If you know Sanskrit, let's say you have a Gita verse, right? And the Gita verse is there, but by grammar you know what's the subject and what's the object and all that. So then you can tell what's actually the main point the verse is making. Otherwise, you can always do some side aspect. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's why they don't take things directly, because then it's very obvious that they should be doing something else other than what they're planning to do. Yeah. Yes?
Also, by definition, subject is for the, you know, it's a think that for worship, the object is for enjoying. So if we put object and subject in the same category, everything becomes object, means it's for my enjoyment. We don't have to discriminate. So in this way, you know, God created this, but it's all for my enjoyment. But actually, if Brahman is a subject, then we should worship him. That's obvious.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, because he's the Vishaya, and the object's the Ashraya. Yeah. That makes sense? Yeah? Yeah, very, very nice. So that's why in the Vedic, then, the grammar is a very important thing, because it's part of the logical process, because you know exactly what the word means, how it's being used, because then they'll put the proper ending on it to indicate that. Yes, and so then when they make it all one, that we're all one, then it just means Brahmananda. It's about my enjoying being Brahman. It's not about me serving Brahman, because there's Para Brahman who's superior, you know, and here you should worship Brahman as the creator, like that. Other Shrutis say that Brahman is the Atma of all conscious and unconscious entities. Anta pravishtas shasta jananam sarvatma. Entering within the Lord is the Atma of all things. Oh, excuse me. Entering within. Maybe put a comma after the entering within.
Okay.
Entering within, the Lord is the Atma of all things, the controller of all men. Taittiriya Aranyaka, 311. Ya Prithivya Tishtan, the Lord resides in the earth. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad, 374. Ya Atmani Tishtan, the Lord resides in the Atma. Yasya Mrityu Shariram, Yam Mrityur Ne Veda Esha Sarvam, Bhuta Tarat Ma Pahata Pa'ma Divyo Deva Eko Narayana. The Lord has death for his body. Death does not know him. The Lord is the Atma of all beings. He is devoid of sin. The one Lord is attractive, Narayan, Subala Upanishad 7. So has death for his body means that time and that is Krishna. So then that form, death, because by time, everything goes on, everything perishes in the material world. In the spiritual world, then time doesn't have any effect like that. Time is a servant. But here, time controls. So taking the form of time, that's what it means. Death is his body. So time, then everything is destroyed. But death does not know him, because he's beyond. So he is what makes death work, so death doesn't have any knowledge of the Lord. He doesn't have control of the Lord. Tad shrishtva tad evanu pravishat tad anu pravishya satcha tyach chabavat. Having created the world, the Lord entered it. Entering it, he became sat, jiva, and tyaj, matter. Taittiriya Upanishad 261. Atmeti tupagach chanti graha yanti cha. Knowers of truth, worship the Lord as Atma and teach this to their students. Brahma Sutra 413. This means one should accept the Lord as Atma. Anena jive nat mananu pravishya nama rupe vya karana kara. No. Vyaka Ravani. Let me enter these three devatas, fire, water, and earth, with the jiva, and divide name and form. Chandogya Upanishad 6.3.2. All right, so by entering fire, water, and earth with the jiva, then the jivas get all their bodies, you know, because earth, water, and fire is what they're made out of. Then within that you have space, which then the air moves through. They're taking up space. And then he'll divide it by name and form. So different the different forms of this fire, water, and earth, then with the jiva inside takes on different names. Right? And even not, it's just everything's made out of this fire, water, and earth. Then you'd call one thing a floor, one thing a wall, one thing a ceiling, all these, but it's made out of the same elements. Right? So it's Krishna who's doing all this. Thus, all things expressible by words attain their substance by entrance of the jiva with the Lord as Atma. Right, because Atma means what's the soul of something. So the jiva is a living entity, so we'll say soul, but the point is the entrance of the jiva into the material energy only functions because the Lord enters. He as the soul of the living entity and the material energy then make everything work. The quotation from Taittiriya Upanishad indicates the same. Brahman is the Atma of the jiva, since the Lord enters the jiva. Because all things other than Brahman act as Brahman's body, those things also indicate Brahman as their essential meaning. So that's how you can say everything is Brahman. So that's why then the peaceful person, or the person with no material desire, he worships that Brahman as the creator and destroyer. Right? So if he creates from what? Because there was nothing there before. That means he provides the ingredients. So automatically that means he's the maintainer. Yeah. Like that. Thus all words indicate Brahman called Tat, which is understood by etymology and common usage. I Tadat Nyam Idam Sarvam, the Lord is the Atma of all beings, is the conclusion. Upa Samhara. And is the equivalent of Tattvam Asi, you are that Brahman, which fulfills the promise that by knowing one entity, everything becomes known. The word you, used to indicate the second person, indicates this. Right? This means the material world, the living entity, like this. Or means that it's the Lord, and that you know him as the Atma of all things, and so this is what is to be known. So, yeah. Riti. The next two honor chaitas further assert the nature of the jiva as an amsa of the Paramatma by detailing that the jiva's sarup is different from the gross and subtle bodies, though he is in contact with the upadis created by Maya, since he has a potential to attain liberation. Like, so if he is the body, how could he attain liberation? That's beyond. But he has the potential to attain liberation. That means his form is different from the material and subtle and gross body. There has to be something beyond that. Anucheta 38. The individual jiva, in contrast to the totality of jivas or samasti, mentioned in the previous verse, is described. O intelligent Uddhava, the bondage of the jiva, who is my one part or tatastha shakti, is created by avidya and is without beginning. By vidya, he achieves liberation which has a beginning. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.4. Itara means liberation. The individual jiva, vyasti, is compared to a small ray. He who identifies himself as all beings is called the samasti, or total. The Lord spoke thus, the verse. That may be the shortest anucheta we've had, no? I mean, we had short ones, but I think this is the shortest. Anucheta 39. The jiva is called an amsa because he is a shakti. That is described. Sva krita puresh vam mish vabhahir antar sam varanam tava purusham varant yakila shakti dritom sha kritam. The individual living entity, while inhabiting the material bodies he has created for himself by his karma, actually remains uncovered by either gross or subtle matter. This is so because, as the Vedas describe, he is part amsha of you, who are the possessor of all potency. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.20. The Shrutis say that the jiva is not covered by external and internal cause and effect. Bahir antara samvaranam, and is an amsha, amsha kritam, of you who are endowed with all shaktis, including jiva shakti, akila shakti dhritaha. The pure Lord is not an Amsha. Therefore, Jiva is an Amsha because he is a Shakti. This is the indication of the Shrutis who speak this verse. Jiva's tatastha nature is clear from the statement sa-ajaya-jaja-anu-saita. The Jiva contacts matter by the influence of Maya, takes on similar form due to upadis, and enjoys material objects. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.38. Jiva is not matter and is not the Lord. The Shruti spoke thus to the Lord. Vriti. The next three Anuchetas list out the reasoning for equating the Jiva and the Lord. So this will be the those who are desiring liberation. Yeah? Okay, Anucheta 40. Oh, this one's even, I think, a couple of lines shorter, right? Non-difference of Jiva and the Lord is described for persons desiring jnana. Aham bhavan na chanyas tvam tvam evaham vichakshva bho. Nanau pashyanti kavayas chidram jatu manag api. I and you are different, but you are not something different from me. Ah, see without anger. The wise never see difference in us at all. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.28.62. Paramatma spoke thus to Paranjana. Right? So the wise don't see the difference because they see they're on the platform of Brahman. But that pointing out the oneness there, people will take that aspect only. Not that I'm a person, you're a person, we're transcendental. And so therefore that's the oneness. Right? They just take the principle, that point is just we're one. But they're not discerning that there's a difference. You know, like a grape and a watermelon. You can say they're both fruits, so they're one. You know? Yeah. Anucheta 41. According to the principle previously mentioned, it appears that there is oneness because all the elements enter each other. To show that there appears to be oneness because of Jiva entering into or closely contacting Paramatma, the following verse is spoken by the Lord. Paras paranu praveshat tatvanam purusharshapa paurva parya prashankyanam yata vaktum ivakshitum. Tum. O best among men, because subtle and gross elements mutually enter into each other, into one another, philosophers may desire to calculate the number of elements in terms of causes or effects according to their personal desire, and thus arrive at different totals. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.22.7. Yeah. Yeah. So they come at because they have different purposes, right? What is important to them? That's how then they deal with it, right? So then, yeah. Sridhar says in his commentary, some persons desire to speak of the number of elements, I think, as being few or many since they merge into each other. The Lord spoke thus the verse, right? Because means you have, let's say, ether. So from ether is going to come sound and is going to come the nose. Right? He only comes in the evening.
Yes.
From
the nose.
Ear.
Oh, the ear. Yes. Sorry. That's the smell. Yes. Sorry. That's the, yeah. Sorry. So those three, but they're all back into that one. So from that, when you expand it, then you're going to get 15. But you can also wind those all up as five. And if you want, you can even wind it up just as mind. So that way, depending on what they want to emphasize, then they'll say this many elements. So that's why for us, the Lord, Kapila Muni, he gave 24. That's what we use. Like that, but we see Brahma talking about, I think it is, maybe he talks about the 9 or 7. I think there's one where it's just pradhan. And then, what is it? No, the 5 elements, gross elements, pradhan, and mahatattva. And that, because then everything can be calculated within that, because everything expands. And then you also have 9, you have 16, you have some go up into the 30s, like that. So, like this, you can get so many. So, here's that we've been given 24. And so, depending upon on their particular, what was it, personal desire, what they want to emphasize, that's what's brought out. And so, all these different schools are then established for the different living entities who have different personal desire. But if you don't have personal desire, then you follow how the Lord has given it and just follow that. How the acharyas have given, and so then that's what we do. We know the other ones are correct. It's just a matter of what you're bringing out. Brahma, when he mentions, he has a specific point he's making. He's not trying to get into all those different aspects. He's trying to make a very specific point. But in other words, it's all made out of the material, out of the material energy, according to the desire of the living entity. Then the Lord has created all this, like that. And so that's the point that he's working on. Because for him, the details is what he deals with every day. Every morning he gets up and creates the universe. You know, that's his morning sadhana. Anucheta 42, the jiva and the Lord are one since they are both conscious entities, right? So now you're taking that aspect of one, while the material energy is different because it's unconscious. Purushe sha rayor atra na vailak shanyam anvapi tad anya kalpana parta jnanam cha prakriter guna. There is little difference between the Lord and the jiva. To think of them as extremely different is useless. Jnana arises from the gunas of prakriti and is thus useless for gaining proper vision. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:22-11. Yeah, so it's jnana, the process is coming out of the gunas. So, you know, just like karma. So on their own, they're useless. So only when they're in touch with bhakti do they have any value. Like that. So to make too much difference is wrong. To make too much oneness is wrong. Yeah. Why do they claim there are 25 elements, excluding the Lord? This is answered with this verse. There's no difference. Vailakshanyam, since the jiva and the Lord are both conscious. To think of the two as completely different is wrong. By the similarity, their relation of Shakti and Shaktiman is illustrated. Thus, they are not different, right? So you're saying the energy, like the electricity and the generator, are one. But at the same time, of course, you can tell there's a difference. But if you make too much difference, then electricity can't stand without the generator. And a generator, you know, it produces electricity. So if electricity is not accepted, then what's the meaning of the generator? What are you left with? You're left with nothing. They say they're left with Brahman, but they're left with nothing. So that's why it's actually Buddhism. Right? Because the generator means it's making electricity, so the two will be there. Yeah, so that they're both conscious, that's the non-difference. The Lord spoke thus the verse. Riti, the next anucheta describes the qualification for realizing the difference between the Lord and the jiva. Right, so he's pointed out what's the oneness, but then clarified what it means. Now he's pointing out what is required to see properly the difference. Anucheta 43. The Lord teaches difference for those desiring bhakti. Right? If you want liberation, oneness is given. Because then you're Brahman, the Lord's Brahman, then you can be transcendental. But then we see is very few we hear of that are utter proper Brahmanandis. That they're not offensive to the Lord, they just don't know more than the oneness. Right. Well, Mayavadis, they're just wholesale offensive. Yada rahitam atmanam bhutendriya gunashayi sarupena mayopetam Pashyan Svarajyam Rikshati. When a person sees that he, the jiva, is completely free from the reservoir of the gunas in the form of the body and senses, and has attained a relationship with me, he attains sovereignty. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.9.33. Sovereignty means he rises above. He's not controlled by the material energy. So he's able to control his senses. When the jiva sees himself, Atmanam, related with me, Maya Upetam, the Shaktiman, the shelter of the jiva Shakti, he attains Sharshti and other qualities, Swarajyam. Garbhadakshay Vishnu spoke thus to Brahma. Right? Good? No? Question?
Yeah, it's interesting historically how the philosophy unfolds, because Madhvacharya, what he does is that opposing the Mayavadis, they take only oneness. And then he takes only difference.
Right.
He says everything is different. One jiva from the other, jiva from the Lord, jiva from the metta. And so he uses the same exact method that the Shankar uses, but in opposite. He says kevala dvait. It's like there's no oneness. But then Mahaprabhu comes and then he balances it. And basically comes to the origin which is established before Shankara, which is Dvait Advait, but he brings the, you know, the Achintya aspect, which is simultaneously one and different. Then it all balances.
Yes.
Otherwise, you know, it's not exactly, you know, sure. Why is it Kevala Dvait? Why is it like absolute difference?
Yeah. Well, it's kevala advait.
Maybe.
You know, so the two negatives then make it into dwait. Yeah. Yeah, but it's just the way, because they're so stuck on that, they weren't intelligent enough that they're looking for that oneness and appreciate that. And Ramanuja then showed how that's in relationship to the Lord as servant of the Lord, and so therefore they can take up that eternal service of the Lord. And so many then came and took up the Vaishnava practice, but those you know, hard nuts that wouldn't, then they're just so stuck in their advait that the only way to uproot them is just to only, in a discussion, don't even acknowledge any kind of oneness, because if there's any, then they go, see? You know? So he just does that until they surrender. When they surrender, then he can talk about that like Ramanujacharya. But that's only in the spiritual world. He doesn't talk about it here. You know? So then you know, it becomes... It's just, it's a technique, because he's come to clean up before Lord Chaitanya's come along. Whoever is so stubborn before that, then he comes along to, you know, crack their heads and make them surrender. Right? So he's not opposed to Ramanuja, as some followers think. No, it's just that one technique is just like you're speaking nice to the kid. And they take it, they don't take it seriously. So then you become more sober, more stronger on the point. Then they think, oh, okay, something's different than regular. That's all. It's just, you know, in other words, the cultured Mayavadis, Ramanuja was able to pull in, and the uncultured ones that need a little bit of chastisement, that then Madhva took care of. Yes?
Also, we see that the two aspects where they say Brahman has transformed into the jiva. So, how the relation between Brahman and jiva, that's the problem of Mayavadis.
Yes.
And another one is, what is the position of Ishvara, or the Lord? Ramanujacharya very nicely dealt with, it's not Brahma transformed into Jiva, but it's Shakti Parinamavad.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained what is Shakti, then how Shakti is inherent within the Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole philosophy deals with that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, still the position of Ishvara is there. That though he dealt, it's not so clear for them. Then Madhvacharya comes and establishes that Ishvara is beyond the modes and you are within the modes. So it's very clear.
Mm.
So the other part also, and when both are clear, then you can come establish the whole.
Yeah, then Lord Chaitanya's. Because Achinta Beda Beda Tattva then is even beyond. So if you can't understand the four main philosophies, how would you understand that? So if you're distracted by that. So that's the uniqueness of Lord Chaitanya's, is that you're dealing with something that's beyond even the experience of the other Vaishnav lines. You know? The point of Krishna and Braj, where he's just the son, he identifies as the son of Maharaj Nanda. They're used to dealing with the Lord that he identifies as I am God. Right? That's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Is that in Krishna he thinks I am the son of Maharaj Nanda, and that's the mood. But then all the Vishnumurtis, they think I am God. Right? And so that makes Vaikuntha and all that. And then what's unique about the Purusha avatars is then they think I'm the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. So that's the point. So Krishna expands as these three. That's therefore Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Advaita. So all these three features of the Purusha is then given, or of Krishna is given. Yes.
We also found it quite difficult to explain, because we say there is no Paramatma feature in the spiritual world. Yet we also claim that the Vaikunthawalas, they worship Lord in the form of Paramatma.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can differentiate between the Vishnumurtis
mm-hmm.
and the Purusha avatars,
yes.
then it's very unclear.
Mm-hmm.
Because Vishnumurti is there, but the Purusha avatars aren't there. So, you know, sometimes we just say, and then everybody is like, what? How does that, you know, match?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then now you clarified it, then the Vishnumurtis are there in Vaikuntha.
Yes.
But then the Purusha avatar is only here.
Yes.
So this is the feature we don't have in there. So here
yes.
we worship this, and there they continue worship, because apparently it's, you know, the Shanta and Dasya Bhaktas, they worship Vishnumurti.
Yes.
Because
it's that opulence.
Yes.
So they're accepting Bhagavan, that he has the six opulences, but the emphasis is on him as God. So that's why we say it's like the Paramatma feature. He's the controller, he's the Ishwara.
Yeah.
While in Goloka, then it's not so much about that. It means you have the higher one, Vrindavan, where it doesn't have any the mood of majesty at all. And but only the sweetness. And then in Dwarka, it'll have a little bit of both. You know, so basically it's the personal interaction, you know, and they don't worry about that he's God, but if need be, then if it comes up, then they'll understand he's Paramatma. So that was the thing, the Yadus, they worship him as Paramatma. So, but it's in that further aspect, that it's kind of like you're extending sweetness. Yeah. Yes.
Also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains those six opulences, and the main one is beauty.
Mm, yes.
Then that's what is the focus in the Vraj.
Okay.
And in other places, then the middle three are fame, and then strength, and then what is the
yes, strength, fame, and
glory.
Yeah, wealth.
Wealth, yes.
Wealth. Glory, influence, all these kind of things. Okay, that's
the main focus.
Okay, that's in Dwarka and the Vaikunthas.
And then the down three is knowledge and renunciation. That is in the material world when we have to go to basically the Brahma situating on that platform.
Okay,
absolutely.
Oh, interesting.
Shanta Bhaktas. knowledge and renunciation forms their main thing, because it's just the Sandini aspect, and as you explained, Samvit is the three.
Yeah, because you're dealing with positions also. Is that, that's probably what's confusing. So when we're saying Paramatma feature, we don't mean Paramatma sitting in your heart. We're talking about that feature of Krishna is how he's the Lord and he's, you know, the master of all and all that. So there's going to be a difference between that and being the master. He's the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. Because the point is, as Prabhupada makes, is so Paramatma, because Krishna, he sits in our heart because we don't see him, but in the spiritual world, he's in front of you. So he doesn't sit in the heart. He sits in front of you. And so then you can personally interact. So that's what's meant. So in the spiritual world, everyone's dealing with Bhagavan, but you may have within Bhagavan, then it will, because everything has the threes, then it'll be that of sweetness, that of majesty, and that of, you know, that aspect of majesty about, but how he is the one who pervades everything, you know, everything's him, and that like that, and Shanta. You know, so in other words, the Shanta will be focused on the Brahman aspect of Bhagavan, while the Vaikuntha will be on the Paramatma aspect of Bhagavan, like that. And then Braj will be on the Bhagavan aspect of Bhagavan. Because it's about, you know, the person. So that means the beauty is the prominent one. That's very nice. Vriti, the next Anucheta explains the cause of difference between the Lord and the Jiva. Anucheta 44. The cause of difference is explained. Because a person, whether covered or not covered by beginningless ignorance, cannot realize Atma on his own. There must be a separate Supreme Lord who knows and gives knowledge. 11.22.10. Right? Because he can't clear himself, because the point is he being in ignorance, how will he know? So that means there must be someone who's beyond. And then that person, and so what's beyond ignorance, you can't know through ignorance. So that means the Lord has to reveal. You can engage your intelligence, your mind, your senses in that realization, but you can't learn it from that. Right? Because it's beyond. Sridhar Swami says in his commentary, the Jiva cannot realize Atma on his own, Svata. The Supreme Lord who knows everything knows the Atma on his own. This indicates the proponent of 26 principles in the world, the Lord as well as the material elements and Jiva. Right, so he's pointing out in here is that the 26th element, you would say, is the Lord, how he's entered everything. But at the same time, is he's still separate. Because he enters, he's not part of the material world. So that's why, well, then we'll say it's 24, you know, or like that, so you don't get confused. Yeah? The quality which distinguishes the Lord from the Jiva is the difference in his ability to know, which he can then give. Later, Uddhava says, Tvatto jnanam hi jivanam pramoshas te tra shaktita. From you alone, through your energy, the Jiva's knowledge arises and disappears. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.22.28. If the position of the Lord was made up of Jiva's ignorance by becoming a portion under illusion, he, a false Lord, cannot give knowledge to the Jiva. Thus the distinction between the Lord and the Jiva must be real. Because right. Otherwise, how could he give that knowledge? You're gaining that knowledge. If you, by worshipping Ishvara, then you can come to the platform of being Brahman. That means that Ishvara has to be beyond. He can't be also a portion of this illusion. The Lord himself reveals to the foolish people the fact that the Jiva and the Lord are different, while speaking from the position of the Lord rather than a speculative logician. Right, so then he speaks this as the Lord. So in Gita it says Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. right? They're pointing out that aspect. So then he says that, then you have to listen. There are many philosophers produced by thinkers, as indicated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.22.9 and 11.22.4. I accept their conclusions as authoritative because a logical explanation can always be given for each of the different theories. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.22.9. It is not difficult for disputants who have taken shelter of my maya to argue. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.22.4. It is said, from the four types of evidence, Vedic knowledge, direct experience, traditional wisdom, and logical induction, one can understand the temporary nature of the material world. Giving up doubt, one remains steady in the Supreme. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.7. This verse forbids a variety of opinions. The word vikalpa means doubt. From the four types of knowledge, one becomes free of doubt and becomes steady in the real substance. Right? So, therefore, from these, you remove doubt. So someone to remain in doubt, that means then they're not actually applying these things. They have their own opinion. You know, but what about this or that, or I think this or that, you know. Like that. This verse forbids, the wise man should see that. Because of transformations of karma, even the happiness on the planet of Brahma, what to speak of that experience on earth, is temporary and inauspicious. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19, 17-18. Up to Brahma, everything is seen to be temporary. Therefore, this is not the case of Vaikuntha. Vriti, the next two anuchetas describe that the pure Atma possesses qualities similar to the Lord, and his original nature is revealed by the mercy of Paramatma. So basically, he's going through the same kind of steps like you're doing in Bhagavad Sandharva. You know, pointing out the nature of the living entity, how he's separate, he's not material energy, he's that, he's not unlimited, he's, limited, then he's dependent upon the Lord. He's an amsha of the Lord, then, you know, how he can be a servant of the Lord. So it's a natural progression because that's what the maya bodies do. So they get these things out of whack in connection with Brahman, out of whack with Paramatma, and I guess they'll also be in with Bhagavan, you know, so. Anucheta 45. Three verses show that the jiva is dependent on the Lord as taught by Jamatri Muni. Wasn't this in the beginning?
Yes. The explanation, the Padma Puran verses are quoted, and then explanation given by Jamatri Muni from Sri Sampradaya.
And that's what means this chapter is this.
This Adhikarana.
This Adhikarana is based on that.
The primary qualities of the jiva.
Okay. So this Adhikarana.
In chapter 3.
That then finishes this chapter.
Yes.
When the mind is free of the contamination of lust and greed arising from the false identity of I and mine, and becomes pure without grief, without joy and peaceful, the jiva sees himself. Himself different from ignorance, full of knowledge, devoid of coverings, subtle, small, undivided, and unattached, as well sees ignorance devoid of power to affect him by a mind endowed with jnana and vairagya, and principally with bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25, 16-18. So that's Jamatri Muni?
No, this is...
This is Bhagavatam.
This is Bhagavatam. Similar explanation was given by Jamatri Muni before.
Oh, I see. Okay.
How the jiva is dependent on the Lord.
Okay. The connection between the three verses is clear. The word aham indicates the atma, which is nitya nirmala. The word atmanam, the jiva sees atma, indicates the sense of I, since otherwise the jiva could not perceive himself as atma. The word kevalam indicates his individual form, ekarupa swarupa bhak. Prakriti param indicates that the jiva is without change, navikari. Bhakti Yuktena indicates that the Atma is revealed by the mercy of Paramatma. Nirantaram indicates that the Jiva is an Amsa of the Lord. Paramatmaika Seshatvam. Since his condition is eternal, Nirantara. Swayam Jyoti indicates that the Atma reveals himself to himself. Swasmai Swayam Prakasha. And that the Jiva is not just knowledge. Jnana Matra Mako Nacha. Right, so he's more than that. It is the Sat and the Ananda also. Animanam indicates that the Jiva is a particle or Anu and different from other Jivas. Prati Kshetram Binna. Since he is not all pervading. Akanditam, indivisible, indicates the Jiva is a knower, doer, and enjoyer intrinsically and eternally. Gya tritva kartritva bhoktritva nija dharmaka. Since knowledge and other qualities are never separated from him. Kapila thus spoke the verses. Right, so a knower, doer, and enjoyer. So knower is sat, doer is chit, and enjoyer is ananda. So they're intrinsic in him. So he'll always do that. So whether he's doing that in the material world, whether he's trying to do that in liberation, or whether he's involved in that in the spiritual world, in his natural relationship in love with Krishna. He will always act according to that. That's why you always see that they, even the Mayavadis who are saying there's nothing, they're always talking about knowledge, they're always talking about happiness, they're always talking about doing something. You know, that you will then, by studying, then you'll come to this. You know, there's that transformation aspect. So they're always, they can't get away from this, because as Jivas, this is how they will think. Because that's who they are. It's intrinsic. Yeah?
The whole Adhikarna is summarized in this point.
Yes.
Adhyaya, sorry, the whole, about all the qualities of the Jivas, all the Adhikaranas which we covered on the nature of the Jiva, is summarized here.
Yeah, all here, because this is the end of Adhyaya 2 also. Yeah. So all the qualities of the Jiva, those are all being described, right? And they'll all come out of this. So that's why anything that there's nothing, or there's no activity, or there's no experience, or anything like that, it's all faulty, because that's against the nature of the Jiva, it's against the nature of the Lord. Right? The only thing opposite to that is the material energy. So yes, they're correct in that spiritual is opposite, but they don't understand it being a reflection, that it'll be similar. Right? That's the thing. So for us, then, you have that aspect of that based on desire, right? Material desire separate from the Lord. Therefore, then there is the material manifestation. So that's how it's reflected, is on our desire. So as soon as we give up material desire, you don't see the material world anymore. You see everything as energies of the Lord. You are within the inferior nature of the Lord, but you see it all as Krishna's energy. You don't see it as the material world. So that's why the great saintly persons, when you say they're not in the material world, because their consciousness, they are simply with the Lord, because they see everything connected. In a localized way, you may say, yes, they are here in the material world, but that doesn't matter. They're unaffected by it. You know? Yes.
Also, we see how second canto and third canto is actually shifting our perspective. Like most of the Paramatma Sandarbha, important aspects are from there.
Mm. Yeah, and conclusions are always 11th canto.
Yeah, conclusions, yeah.
That's very far out.
So, understanding that the Lord is the material cause, He is the efficient cause, and then the Jiva has to align himself with the desire of the Lord. Unless we understand that, then the further philosophy passed on doesn't make...
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Anucheta 46. The following characteristics are not contradictory to what was said. Atma nityo vyaya shuddha eka kshetra gya ashrayaha. avikritya swadrig hetur vyapako sangyana vrita. Eter dvadasabhir vidvan atmano lakshanai parahi. Aham mamet yasad bhavam dehadau mohajam jajet. Atma is without destruction, without decay, pure, one entity, the knower of the field, the shelter, without action, self-illuminating, the cause, pervading his body, not influenced by matter and not covered by anything. By contemplating these 12 features, one should give up the false identity of me and mine related to the body, arising from ignorance. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:7-19-20. So then, addressing these 12 points is what he's been doing the whole time. So they make mistakes on these 12 points. Avyaya means without decay. Eka means without a conglomeration of parts like body and senses. Right? It's all together. Kshetragya means having the nature of a knower. Ashraya means being the shelter of the senses. Avikriya means without action. Since he's by nature a knower. Swadrik means revealing himself to himself. Hetu means the cause of creation. Sutta says, Hetur jivo sya sargader avidya karma karanaka. Karaka. Yam chanu. Yes. Yam chanu shayinam prahur avyakritam uta pare. The cause of sarga, visarga, of the universe is the jiva who performs actions out of ignorance and is said to possess a material body or, alternatively, possess a spiritual body. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:7-18. Vyapaka means pervading by nature. Asangi anavrita means uninfluenced by matter and uncovered, since he has a form which is self-revealing. One should give up the one should give up the impermanent generated from illusion related to body, etc., but not the sense of I inherent in Jiva Sarup. Right? So the I and mind that's generated from illusion, that's given up. But the I and mind in connection with Krishna and who we actually are in our relationship, that remains. So we see all these things is that anything that's not useful is given up. Right? Like, he's the non-doer in this aspect. Because in the previous one it says he's the doer, means he's the one that's actually doing. But at the same time, it's because of him material nature is responding. But in actuality, he's the non-doer because he knows the body, and then by his desire, material nature is carrying it out, so material nature is the doer. So identifying with material nature as the doer and bringing it to the point of seeing himself as a servant of the Lord, that's then the point that you're trying to get. So those things that are useful are kept. See, there's so many aspects of the philosophy, and some are useful for getting rid of the material conception, and some of them are good for our connection and relation with the Lord. So what's the oneness? What's the difference? You know, the vyastis, samasti, all these different aspects will be there. So the acharyas then from there reveal which aspects are the natural original forms and which ones are therefore transforming and developing because of the material consciousness. Those are the ones that are left. So that's why we can't speculate that this one's, if they say this is the one to use, you can't say no. Because it's beyond our ability, it's beyond our mind and senses to know transcendence. Right? From the material. If we use the spiritual, but that will only get from those who are from the spiritual world, and the Lord reveals. Then you can work with that. But one has to be able to tell the difference. Right? So then what is used and what's left, that's why the acharyas say, what's useful in devotional service, that's kept. And what's not, it's not. So the point is how do you choose something or not in how it relates to assisting in devotional service? But then you know what's devotional service, you're following the footsteps, then you can choose. But if you don't know what devotional service is, you may choose all kinds of things. You know? I say, you know, like the devotee, when they were at, when they moved up to 61 Second Avenue, because 26 Second Avenue, it got small, so they moved up, I'm not sure how far, but to 61 Second Avenue. And so just next to that, there was a donut shop. So many times Prabhupada would have to go out when he comes down to the temple. There's no one there. He'd just go into the donut shop, and they're all there. And tell them, you know, or send someone over to get them, you know. Yeah. So otherwise, you know, the donuts you offer to Krishna and then taking prasad, and that's devotional service, you know. So like the 9 important elements, prasadanam, you know, like that. And so then they were absorbed in that. And so then, but then the acharyas point out, you know, the balance, you know. Does that make sense? So that's why we can't make up our own process. We can take what they've given us and use that, but we have to know where it fits and all that. You know, it's just like we're engaging material attachment in Krishna's service by then taking it and using it in such a way that it's pleasing to Krishna. Not I'm using the things I'm attached to and I use them how it pleases me. No, that won't work. Is I use the things that I'm attached to in a way that's pleasing to Krishna. That will purify them. Otherwise, then I would be purifying myself. Right? But the point is without the help of the Lord, the jiva can't know. So he may be a knower, but dependent on the Lord. He may be a doer, but dependent on the Lord. Or he may be a non-doer, an observer, dependent on the Lord. So that's the point, is he's always dependent on the Lord. So when that's not appreciated, then it doesn't work. So we have to see is that, oh, okay, I'm taking this, but how Krishna wants me to engage my attachments, that we have to see. Right? And so then taking those, then you see is that, yes, and engaging my attachments, that's on a lower level than if I can engage those attachments with detachment. And then that's on a lower level than I'm serving Krishna and I happen to engage my nature in Krishna's service. So one has to understand the hierarchy, the yoga ladder, because otherwise, then you'll equate everything as one, and that's the impersonal. You can't tell the difference. That's just foolishness. Though, the intellectual will try to say that. He will try to use his intelligence to say it's all one. He's attached to gyan, but the point is he's foolish because of that. Thus, some say that because the jiva is an amsa of the Lord, the jiva is compared to a small particle of light, like a part of a kostuba jewel. In defining the jiva, Skanda Purana, Prabhashkanda says, the jiva's color, form, or measurable dimension cannot be seen. One cannot describe it. The jivas are very small and innumerable in number. The jiva is smaller than 100th part of a hair tip divided 100 times. They are unlimited in number. The yogis with eyes of knowledge see the jiva like a drop of water on a lotus, like a constellation or a small glowing light. Prahlad spoke thus to the sons of the demons.
Advanced philosophy.
Yeah, yeah, but he was speaking to other 5-year-olds.
Indeed.
Because they won't have a problem with it. You know, you explain this to them, they'll, okay, yeah. Vriti. The next Anucheda describes the two types of jivas. The first type of jivas, who are favorable to the Lord, are always beyond the three modes, whereas the second type of jivas, who are unfavorably disposed to the Lord, suffer the miseries of the material world. Thus, the jivas are always dependent on the Lord, either in the conditioned or the liberated state. Anucheda 47. Thus, the jivas or tathastha shaktis are unlimited, ananta. Right? So that's how it's ananta. There's just so many of them. It's not that each one is unlimited. There are two classes of these Shaktis. One is favorable to the Lord without beginning, Anardi Taha, since these Jivas have knowledge of the Lord by their nature. The other Jivas are averse to the Lord without beginning, Anardi Taha, since they lack knowledge of the Lord by their nature. Right? Nature means your inclination. It means it's inherent in the Jiva to know the Lord, because that's why the first point being discussed is the nature of Jivas. That's why we discussed that before. Right? That's all Jivas. Then within that, some are inclined to take up the service of the Lord, knowledge of the Lord, and some are not inclined towards that. So that's the nature where we're talking about. But the inherent natural nature is as been described before. The first type of Tathagata Shakti is endowed with the manifestation of the Antaranga Shakti and consists of the eternal associates of the Lord, like Garuda. These are described in Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, which is quoted in Bhagavat Sandarbha, starting with the phrase Tripad Vibhuter Lokastu. These Jivas of the first type are Tathagata in nature, since they do not enter into the category of the Lord, Ishwara. They are fixed as Jivas. The other type, overcome by Maya, which has gained access to the Jiva because of Jiva's aversion to the Lord, is born repeatedly in the material world. Right? So the other ones, they are fixed as Jivas. So that's the point. They remain as Jivas. But being in the fire of the internal potency, they act like fire. But they're fixed as Jivas, because what is the Jiva? Jiva is a liberated, liberating entity, unconditioned by the material energy, not controlled by the modes, full of knowledge, you know, how you say, full of activities, full of ananda. That's the nature of it. So they remain as that. While the second type of jivas, who become overcome by maya, they don't manifest these qualities. It means it's their small little glimmer that they try for these three, but we don't see that they're always happy, they're always properly engaged, they're always in knowledge. So the first jivas, they remain like that because they have that nature. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.